It's time to talk to the voice of the Jayhawks. Brian Haney is with us, and he's brought to you every Thursday at this time here on the Sports Ticket by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Michelle, 118 North Mill in Beloit, or give them a call, 785-738-5701. Mr. Haney, how are you today, sir?
Good, Wade. How are you?
I'm doing good. You're okay with the election? You're not out protesting? You're not really upset? What's your feeling after the election, Brian? I gotta feel the pulse of Jayhawk Nation and yourself.
Boy, we go right after the hard-hitting questions right out of the chute.
We saved the fluff, but we saved the softballs for the end.
I would say this. I thought the way both candidates handled their success and failure was with grace and class and tact. And that's what this nation needed, because you had a chance to have a pretty strong divide. And there's obviously still, as you alluded to, a lot of folks up in arms. But I thought Trump's speech in victory was the right tone it needed to be. And I thought Hillary's speech in defeat yesterday was her best work yet. I thought Tim Kaine introduced her was phenomenal, too, her running mate. So I'm not hugely disappointed or happy. I wasn't a huge proponent of either, but I think they both handled the outcome as well as you could have hoped.
Yep, I would agree with that, and me too. I wasn't super happy with the package presented to us for either candidate, but it is what it is, and we will move on. And one great thing, no matter who the president is, we can talk KU athletics. And let's begin with the men's basketball team. They open the season tomorrow night in Honolulu, Armed Force Classic. It's going to be pretty cool. I've seen lots of videos of Coach Self and the team getting a tour of the aircraft carrier, the destroyer, and everything else. I would imagine this is an unbelievable opportunity for the team, not necessarily on the court, which is nice. You play Indiana, it's a good challenge, but also just the experience of going over there and learning something new.
No doubt. I mean, it's the 75th anniversary of the attacks on Pearl Harbor, and then I believe, unless plans change, they're going to get to see Ground Zero in New York before the Tuesday matchup with Duke at Madison Square Garden. So what a huge dose of both history and perspective for these guys. You obviously don't draw it up ideally playing two of the top 10 or 11 teams in the country within a span of 4 days and doing so how many miles apart, you know, from yeah. Honolulu to New York. It's not ideal in terms of travel. But when you're Kansas and you've got that brand across your chest and that national brand across the country, clearly, you're going to have opportunities to play in events like this. And the fact that Kansas said yes to both, and the fact that they want to be tested early and get that measuring stick, I think that's something you embrace as Jayhawk fans and you're excited about. As we keep saying on these reports, though, the Kansas team you're going to see tomorrow night and Tuesday night will be vastly different as the year goes on, because guys like Udoka and Josh as freshmen are going to evolve so much. And other players like a Carlton Bragg, I think, will come out of his funk and be a much different player as we get deeper into the year. And to call it like it is, Duke's pretty shaken up right now. They had their third preseason injury the other day. Not to make excuses for them, they've still got loads of talent. But these games are always fun, and yet I caution people, don't take the results of these games as gospel as to what's going to happen going forward, because the identity of these teams is ever-changing. And when you play somebody on your very first day, you know, it's just like, Wade, when you met your wife, you're a different person today than you were when you guys first met. She didn't marry the guy she met on the very first day, right? Well, maybe right. With you, you're charismatic enough. Point is, you know, it's going to be way different. And so hopefully KU goes 2-0. If they do, feel good about it, but don't naturally assume that, okay, well, we got this thing, you know, because it's going to change. They go 1-1, which might be the most likely scenario. Mm-hmm. I hate to say that because we all expect and hope for 2-0. But, you know, don't read too much into that either. It's just, it's going to be so different. I look at Indiana tomorrow night. Thomas Bryant's a chance to be a Big Ten player of the year player in the post. And the Anunoby kid, OG Anunoby, might be the breakout player of the year in the Big Ten and maybe nationally. But here's a guy that only averaged 5 points per game a year ago, and yet everybody's thinking he has a chance to be an All-American. So will he be that right out of the chute? Maybe. He looked that way in the preseason. But more than likely, he's going to be that guy over the course of the next 4 months. So I guess the question comes down to who is more ready to play like their end-of-season expectation on day 1 and 2, mm-hmm. and who is still a ways away from getting into that mode. Those will be the teams that win these next two games.
I remember a few years ago, Andrew Wiggins' year at KU. Remember they played Duke, and I think there are quite a few KU fans. I don't know if it's a majority, but I know for myself, I thought, yeah, that game could go either way, and it's not the end of the world if Kansas loses to Duke, even though I'm not a big fan of Duke. But it was early in the season, like you said, no need to overreact to it. But then Kansas won, and we know all the hype that was around Andrew Wiggins. And when KU won that game against Duke, I think the expectations went from one level to a completely different level with that team. And then, of course, we know how it ended, and Embiid was hurt, and it became a big disappointment. And I always wondered, you know, I think that just really sped up the expectations for fans when KU won that game.
Yeah.
There's already super high expectations for this KU team, so I don't know if they go 2-0, 0-2, or 1-1, if that changes the expectations this year compared to the few years ago when Wiggins was there.
Yeah, it's a great point, because, I mean, you're opening the year at number 2 in one poll and number 3 in the other, so really how much higher can your expectations truly go? But I simply asked the other day, are you a fan of these early season showcase games or events? And I do think they're great when you get that type of blue blood pedigree together. It would be a little more ideal if it was in December and not the very opening day. You know, we obviously have the Big 12 SEC Challenge that takes place in the middle of league action. And a lot of coaches I've talked to don't like that. They don't like breaking away from their focus within the conference to travel to a place that's unfamiliar and take on an opponent that plays vastly different than the rest of the league in some cases. And it's just a change of pace curveball that they don't like. But would more coaches like some of these type matchups that we're talking about in Honolulu and in New York maybe 3 weeks from now, which, you know, you do get some Thanksgiving-type tournaments. And obviously they play some, you know, pre-Christmas tournaments that are the lesser-known ones, obviously. But for Kansas, that's a pretty huge measuring stick right out of the gates. And Bill Self isn't backing down from anything, so we'll let him do the talking for the program. He's excited to have it and looking forward to it. But I think from a more truer sense of what you're going to be standpoint, these would be better still before conference play begins, but deeper into the non-con when guys like Udoka, Josh Jackson, you know, improving sophomore talent like Vic and Carlton Bragg have a few more games under their belt.
Yeah, I agree with you. Brian Haney, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Michelle at 118 North Mill in Beloit or call them at 738-5701. I just like college basketball. We can have these matchups. In football, we don't have them as much, and we know that one loss in football can really wreck your season if you're trying to win a championship, whereas in basketball, in a situation here, if Kansas goes 1-1, 2-0, 0-2, it's really probably at the end of the year not going to hurt them too much when it comes to seeding in the tournament, and it should actually help them when they go into Big 12 play. And I've talked to lots of coaches at various levels, and I'm sure you have too, Brian, that you don't get better by beating a whole bunch of teams that you're better than. You get better by going up against good competition, and this gives Coach Self a good barometer on the things that his team has to work on and improve on when you go up against two of the best teams in the country early on.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, you're going to find a lot out about Landon Lucas's ability to stay with the premier bigs in the Big 12 when he goes up against Thomas Bryant. I mentioned the OG Anunoby kid and his versatility and the hype around him. How does Kansas handle that matchup? A guy that can score from both inside and out, has really freakish athleticism. You know, what will that prepare you for, not just in league play, but even come Tuesday night versus Duke? So, yeah. And then, you know, obviously with Indiana, you lose Yogi Ferrell in the backcourt. I think Kansas has a decided edge when it comes to guard play. And that's going to be the case, you would think, most every night of the season when you've got a tandem like Mason and Graham. But there's still some very capable guards on this Indiana team who will be amongst the best that you're going to face over the first 2 months. So that gets you set for tougher challenges ahead as well. So I think it is a great thing. And, you know, clearly they've been practicing against really good competition throughout the preseason. You know, we've got Malik Newman on campus now, for those who don't know, who, according to one rating service, was the number 2 player in his high school class, just transferred from Mississippi State. So the guys on the red team, as they call it, you know, which is typically walk-ons and the reserves, pretty good at Kansas. And so they are getting a day-to-day challenge that's, you know, Big 12 starting lineup caliber. But you don't quite get it at all 5 spots, which is what you're going to get these next 2 games.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. I'm glad you mentioned that. Football, KU football team, you will be there covering it coming up on Saturday. People can hear that over on Z96.3, the home for the Jayhawks here in North Central Kansas. And this is a game that's kind of been circled for a while by a lot of Jayhawk fans, saying if we're going to get a Big 12 conference win, this is the most likely one at home against Iowa State to kick off at 11 o'clock. And the quarterback situation, where are we standing with the quarterback situation? Cozart had a concussion. Carter Stanley came in, played pretty well, although it was in the second half and the game for the most part had been determined. Where did everything sit there with KU, and how do you feel about their chances going into this game?
Well, you know, first off, how much do you value the second half of Carter Stanley? That's the big question this week. I value it a great deal because those were ones that he was up against from the West Virginia defense. He was still playing against starters. Now, you could argue, okay, Brian, but you're down 5 touchdowns. The competitive edge from West Virginia is clearly ratcheted down a notch. And, yeah, I get that. But it's not like he was doing this in the final drive of the game against the third string. I mean, he comes in halfway through the third, and they still have ones on the field. And we see him do some things that we've been lacking at that position for a while. I thought his ability to read and react, his ability to improvise, his ability when he had a bad snap on his first center to quarterback exchange of the performance, it's to his left and on his shoe tops, rather than scrambling to pick it up and then just chucking it out of bounds, which we'd seen earlier in the ball game from a different QB, he calmly picked it up, surveyed his options, dumped it off real fast before he got hit, and he picked up 6 yards. And those that have watched Kansas football for all 9 games this year know that Jayhawks, when they've been sputtering, are getting into second and long situations because they're not getting that solid 4 yards on first down to give you second and medium and then third and manageable and all that. And so his ability, even though he doesn't have as big a time arm as a Ryan Willis or, you know, the overall athleticism of a Montel Cozart, his ability to just have a natural feel of the pocket around him and an ability to survey what's in front of him and make good decisions, sometimes the ball won't get there quite as fast. Maybe it won't look quite as pretty, although I do think he threw some of his best balls all season in that one, and there appeared to be more zip on his passes, you know, than we'd seen earlier in the year. But my point is that there's just kind of, I hate to use the cliche, the it factor, but you've seen quarterbacks at Kansas and other places that you know, clearly didn't have all the measurables necessarily, but they had an ability to just flat out make plays because of their savvy, their moxie, all of that. And you don't want to put too much on a quarter and a half, but this is something we've been hearing about this guy for a while. And so to see him come in and move the offense like he did, it gives you hope. And that's not to say there won't be setbacks if he's the guy. Heck, he threw an interception that was a little bit ill-advised on the throw versus West Virginia. It wasn't a perfect night by any means, but it was pretty dang efficient otherwise, 9 of 11. And I think you start to get excited that, you know, if these last 3 games really are truly all about finding out what you've got at that spot as you plan for next year, maybe here's a guy that is going to get some reps against, you know, real early game ones versus ones competition that maybe has some untapped potential that we've not seen from the other guys that have had chances now to prove that they can sustain it and haven't always been as consistent as you would like. That's not to write anybody off or rule anybody out, but I think it's, there's a certain portion of the fan base that wants to see what they have in Carter Stanley, and it wouldn't surprise me if we get to see it come Saturday morning.
Well, you know, I say why not? I mean, Willis has had his opportunity. Cozart's had his opportunity. Why not see what Carter Stanley can do in a situation, whether it's this weekend or down the line? Upset your dog.
My dog agrees with you. He's all about Carter.
That's a yes, huh? All right, buddy. Time for off-the-wall question. We love to do this each and every week with you here on a Thursday. And Brian Haney's appearance brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Michelle, 118 North Mill in Beloit, or call them at 738-5701. Of course, Matt's a huge Kansas Jayhawk fan, as we know. If you could announce another sport that you've never announced before, what sport would that be?
Wow. Oh, that's a great question. I love that. It would probably be Aussie rules football, because I used to stay up until 2 in the morning and watch it on Fox Sports when I was a kid growing up. And these dudes are running around just blowing each other up. No helmets, no pads, no nothing. They're chucking the ball, kicking the ball. I mean, it's hard-hitting action. And, of course, always has felt like Australian accents are super cool. And I think that if you threw an American announcer with an American accent, yes, we do have them, into the Aussie game, it might be a novelty act that just might work. So you know what, maybe in the off season or down the line of my career, if I ever want to change the pace, I'll go down there and call some Aussie rules football, because if you haven't seen it, that's some of the most heart-pumping, hard-hitting action you're going to find.
Man, you and I are kind of on the same wavelength, because I had Chris Allison on from ESPN in Charlotte previewing the Chiefs and the Panthers yesterday, and I asked him the same question, and he mentioned hockey, and for me, hockey would scare me because of all the big, long names to pronounce. You know, that'd be tough, and it's so fast, but it would be fast-paced. I like that. But I said rugby. You know, I like those athletes, man. You have to be in tremendous shape to do all the running, and then without the protective gear and just the contact, and then you're talking Aussie rules football, man. We're along the same build there on that question, buddy. We both like the same thing, apparently.
Indeed. Difference is I get to go to Sydney and Melbourne.
True.
And be around all those female versions of the Australian accent.
Yes.
You know, and you're going to be calling rugby like in the Ivy League, and, you know, and some of these other schools on the East Coast.
I defer. Your answer is better than mine. You just proven that with that explanation. Put another shrimp on the barbie. Oh, yeah.
There you go. I'll take you with me, and we'll rotate quarters and get after it.
That would be a blast. That'd be awesome. Hey, have a great call coming up on Saturday. Bring the Jayhawks luck against Iowa State, and we'll review the games on the hardwood and on the gridiron next week with you, buddy.
Just think, when I talk to you next, there's a chance KU could be 2-0 with two wins over number 1 and number 11. In their back pockets. It's a possibility. Like I said, we don't read too much into that, but wouldn't that be sweet? We'd have a lot to talk about next Thursday right here with Wade Gerstner.
We look forward to it, and we will talk to you next Thursday. Thanks, Brian.
Thanks, buddy.
That's Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Michelle at 118 North Mill in Beloit, or call them at 785-738-5701. Always appreciate Brian being on with us on the program every single Thursday here at 9:30 to talk KU Athletics.